IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. When we think about Ashura and the events of Karbala, we're not just remembering a historical tragedy. We're connecting to something much deeper. Every year during Muharram and Safar, we see familiar scenes, black flags hanging in the streets, people carrying alams in the different majalis, voices reciting nohas and marsiyas, and even young children dressed as the little heroes of Karbala. But what do all these things really mean? Welcome to our program, The Viewpoint, your program on IRIB English Radio. أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين عليه السلام. May Allah increase your rewards for and توفيقات for mourning the martyrdom of Imam Hussein عليه السلام and his companions. I'm your humble host, Sayyid Ali, and it's an honor for us to be here today in this studio. I am joined with two dear brothers, Brother Sheikh Danish. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Salam alaikum.
Welcome. Good to have you here again.
Thank you.
Azam Allah ujurana wa ujurakum. Thank you so much for being here. And dear brother Sayyid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Once again, I have the privilege to be here with you.
It's a pleasure.
Azam Allah ujurana wa ujurakum. Dear brother Sheikh Danish, black and green flags are common during Muharram and people carrying them. What is the symbolic meaning of the black and green flags? Sometimes like red ones I have seen. And how do these colors influence the mood and purpose of mourning rituals?
Right. So regarding the black flags are a symbol of mourning, right? And black clothes as well. And it's a symbol that has its roots from Arabia, of course. That during those times when a person's near and dear ones would be mourned, they would lose a relative, a near or dear one would be lost. They would venerate that person, or they would have rituals for that person in that form of, by wearing black clothes. And this has been carried on during the centuries, and it has become a tradition. Mm-hmm. And the flag, of course, is a symbol of the flag bearer of Karbala, Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, who was the flag bearer of Karbala.
Exactly.
And he was basically in that time when two opposing armies were facing each other in battle, they would have a flag bearer. And till the time that flag bearer was holding his ground, it meant that the armies were the two armies were fighting each other. Mm-hmm. Once the flag bearer was martyred, another person would take the charge and would become the flag bearer. So a flag bearer was important in that sense.
Sure.
And so the green flags, as is apparent, would symbolize the flag bearer, that is Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, and the concept that we are carrying the flag of the message of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Yeah.
That is, the fight against tyranny is being reflected in this age and time by these flag bearers who are carrying the flag of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam forward. And so these are some of the meanings and annotations attached to.
And I guess the green flags and or the green like sort of colorful dresses or customs in general, when we see in this theatrical performance or Shabihane, which we're going to talk about soon, represent Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and the family, the household of the Prophet in general. And the red ones stands for the enemy or the Bani Umayyad or Yazidi ones and people like that.
I think there is more to it, Brother Sayyid. The green flags, of course, as Sheikh mentioned, flags is to identify the side of the armies in battle. So that's why when the flag is raised from one side, we know, okay, we are fighting with that side is belongs to this set of people and another flag. So these are identifications of the different sides
like
in battle.
Like their logos.
Exactly. The black is because of mourning, is because of the martyrdom of Abd al-Hussein. That's why after the martyrdom of Abd al-Hussein, many of the Shias, they move towards wearing black clothes, putting black flags in front of their homes, identifying themselves with black to show that they're in the state of mourning, mm-hmm. until Banu al-Abbas hijacked that entire mission of, you know, mourning and the revenge for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. The green one has also two meanings. One is that green represents Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam. It was the Prophet's color. It is also easy on the eye, naturally speaking. And also, green also represents revenge as well.
Yeah.
Black represents mourning. Green represents revenge. Mm-hmm. So the Shias, the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam, and this is not just to label ourselves and say whoever believes in Imam Ali, no. Whoever follows the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam, we know. Even this encompasses again the orthodox Sunni brothers. So mm-hmm. when I mean the followers of Al-Bayt, I'm being very general over here. Everyone believes that on the arrival of the Imam of our time, and he will raise the flag for the revenge of Imam Abdullah al-Hussein. That's something that is established. That's something that everybody believes. Mm-hmm. So the mourners of Abdullah, they keep both the flags, one to say that we are mourning, the other to say that we are preparing ourselves for the great revenge from Abdullah al-Hussein.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Dear Sheikh Danish, so when we walk into Taqiya and Husseiniya, these places during Muharram, it's not just a building we're entering. It feels like we step into a space filled with emotion, memory, shared faith. In history, recent history, people got killed there, martyred there by the attack of those people who cannot bear these majalis and ceremonies of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. How do Taqiyas, these Taqiyya, as we call it, Taqiyya or Husseiniya, or in some cases we've got Hassaniya, Fatimiya, and different countries, go beyond being just physical spaces and places and halls and rooms, and they become powerful symbols of Shia identity? Can you talk about that?
Right. So in all the countries where the believers of Imam, the message of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, whether they be Sunnis or Shias, are existing, they hold different ceremonies for the commemoration of these events. And particularly Husseiniyas and Taqiyyas and places have been, for example, categorized as the places of commemorating Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So we see a special respect that all the believers of this message have for these places. One is that these ceremonies that are being held are directly being held because of the commemoration ceremonies that were held by the Aima Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And so we see those holding these ceremonies, those commemorating these ceremonies, those donating funds for these ceremonies as really doing the bidding of the Aima alayhimus salam.
Yeah.
And so this is a noble, sacred undertaking that they are doing. And more than that, so what we believe is that these ceremonies, these commemorations, they are directly being attended to by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. Mm-hmm. And what we have in different traditions and different ceremonies, that one khatib was told to go to a certain place,
exactly,
by the order of Lady Fatima to Zahra salamullah alayha.
Exactly.
And when that famous khatib goes to that place, only a single lady, old
yes.
lady, has saved an entire year's savings to commemorate a mourning ceremony,
mm-hmm.
and only two or three ladies from the neighborhood are in attendance.
Yeah.
So the belief is that these ceremonies, even if they are held in a small place, in a small household, have a special attention by the Lady Fatima to Zahra salamullah alayha, by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and the Imam al-Zaman
alayhi salam. It's not about quantity, it's about quality,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's not about quantity. And when these majalis, these ceremonies are held in Husseiniyas, they become a symbol of the resistance, the symbol of the message, and directly the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have an attention, and it is taking place by their auspices, by their permission.
And one of the well-known Husseiniyah to my mind is the Husseiniyah of Imam Khomeini, which Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of the revolution, delivers lectures, and the whole world is waiting usually for his last points and, you know,
Just to give a little bit context on the takiyya itself, takiyya. You see, takiyya, one of the theories is that it comes from the word takiyyagah or takiyya, meaning that these are places where the a'imma and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam, as mentioned in the riwayat, that wherever there is majlis, there are always a'imma and Ahlul Bayt attending that majlis. And so takiyya meaning that they are bracing somewhere in the corner of the majlis. So it's something that we should be very wary about. We should not take this lightly. That's number one. The second thing is that, you see, in the time of the noble prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, masjid and the Friday prayers held a very important significance.
Sure.
Because masjid was a place of gathering, a social gathering.
From the beginning of Islam.
Exactly. It's a place where marriages happen. It's a place where connections between, networking between the mu'mineen happened. And the Friday prayers is where the most important set of teachings of Islam, most important news, political affairs, and so on were discussed. But then after the hijacking of Islam, after the noble prophet, peace be upon him and his family, and unfortunately the ma'sumeen and the a'imma and the ahl bayt, they were hindered from entering into the masajid and taking the pulpits. And so therefore, especially after the martyrdom of Abdul al-Hussein, wherever the Ahlul Bayt saw opportunity, they took that opportunity and they took advantage of it and revived the message of Imam al-Hussein, using the first one being the majlis of Lady Zainab in Karbala after the martyrdom, the crying, the weeping, the mourning.
Yeah.
And then one of the most significant and the early ones is the Majlis of Abu Abdul Hussein in the Syria, the Damascus itself, in nearby the palace of Yazid, where the Usara, the captives of Abu Abdul Hussein were kept there. And so wherever there was opportunity, they took it. And throughout the history, because the followers of Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Bayt were, somewhat away from the, they were kept away from the masjid. The hukama of the time, the rulers of the time, the tyrants of the time, they did not want to give them the pulpit.
Yeah.
So that, somehow it will be a revolution once again against them. So this concept of Husayniyya emerged. Away in a separate from masjid. Although there is nothing that there is no reverence that lessens from the masjid. The masjid has its own importance,
true,
its own ahkam, its own sharia, and so on. It's in its own place. Many of the masajid are Husayniyya themselves, right? But this concept of separate place of gathering for Husayniyya emerged among the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
Yeah.
This Husayniyya can be within the home, sure, or a specific place outside. As Sheikh Lanis mentioned, the people gather in their homes. And again, this is because of the repressive rule of tyrannies along the history, whereby they would not allow social gatherings for Ahlul Bayt, so they would have it secretly in their homes. Even until now, we continue it,
yes,
symbolizing the time when the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam went through difficulties.
In some of the countries right now, like the government, they don't
even until now. That's why we sometimes we need to take the context of these riwayat of the azadari. Whenever there is mourning for Abdullah, those who attend, those who cry, Jannah becomes wajib. Why? It's not because just our cry or tears are so cheap. And no. It's because the time, the reviving of this message is not that easy.
And
it didn't come to us at an easy cost. We should not take the Islamic Republic of Iran for granted. We should not take many of the Husayniyas for granted, because these are the results of generations of blood, generation of sacrifice, not just one, overnight. We should not take this for granted. And so therefore, that's why Ahlul Bayt had an important, very strong, extreme importance and extreme emphasis on making sure that these majalis happen in any form possible, whether it be in Husayniyya, in masjid, in homes, and so on.
Thank you so much, both of you guys. We have to wrap up this session, and let's just conclude the session by reciting one salam to Imam Hussein and his companion. As-salamu ala al-Hussein wa ala Ali ibn al-Hussein wa ala awlad al-Hussein wa ala ashab al-Hussein. May peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Ali ibn al-Hussein alayhi salam and the rest of their families and companions. Till another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullah.
night you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفعة أنا لها.